But it would appear that the war has come to our doorstep. And the particular war I'm referring to is the war on our own sense of morality. I don't know how many of you read the local newspaper. What does it cost these days? 75 cents? For the Enterprise? Yeah. So just out of curiosity, what does USA Today cost? A quarter. 50 cents? It's 50 cents. The Washington Times is a quarter. What's the Post? 35. I had no idea what an upscale Well, there are two young ladies here who are hoping for a normal life. And so this young couple is fighting a legal battle to be together. They want a marriage license issued here in our little town. The ACLU is suing four counties in Maryland. Because Maryland's had the audacity to say that marriage is defined as between a man and a woman. And they think they have a foothold because the courts in the state of Maryland have already allowed homosexuals to adopt children in this state. The legal thinkers are already trying to project how they're going to handle the lawsuits that will be inevitable once we begin to see the effects of children who were adopted by homosexual couples, who then sue whoever was responsible for bringing the harm into their life. Let's see. Don't you love this generation? It's just full of stuff. We've got some folks who just want a normal life. Isn't that interesting? That which occurs naturally, normal, according with constituting or deriving from a norm, a rule, or a principle, conforming to a type or a standard or a regular pattern. I'm going to try to educate us today because I'm aware that emotional predilections already exist on this subject. And I'm going to look at it from two or three perspectives. The root of homosexuality is what I'm after. There is a huge campaign Say that again. Okay. I'm technology challenged, I'll admit that. Our version of a cell phone growing up was two used vegetable cans and some waxed string. Okay? I don't know if I can survive this generation. It's interesting to me, it's truly interesting to me, how adept our average 12-year-old is with technology. It's just incredible. I may pay one to come over and get my VCR to stop flashing. I'll do what I can to try to inject some levity in this thing. I'm going to... Ah. Now, here's the first salvo. I decided to put this up so you could follow it along. I have the premise that homosexuality is a choice against nature, against civilization, and against fidelity. And I plan to support that this morning, give you something to think about. Does that say homosexuality is a choice against nature, reproduction after like kind? Good, then I'll quit turning around. In nature, there is a principle of reproduction. And it is that every species reproduces after its own kind. I shouldn't have to try to authenticate that to you, but I will give you an illustration. For instance, in a typical barnyard, you will find chickens and ducks, but you will not find any chucks. And it's not because the farmer comes out every morning and says, okay, it's another day. I don't want any monkey business in this barnyard. Okay? Because there is a principle of reproduction that you reproduce after like kind. Now, I'm going to take an extreme example to make a point. I want you to imagine what the consequences would be for humankind if I could walk over to the wall and flip a switch, and just like that, every living human being became homosexual. Homosexual not being necessarily defined in this context as men with men, although that's the typical street language. But it's when one sex continues to indulge in sexual relationships with members of the same sex. We discriminate as homosexual for men and lesbian for women. But how long would the human race have after I flipped that switch? 100 years? 110 years? Without some dramatic intervention, humankind would be extinct. Can you see that? All righty. Now, let me submit to you that homosexual activity is unnatural activity because it violates the principle of reproduction after like kind. Since it cannot reproduce, it is therefore predatory. In order for its appetites to be satisfied, it must prey on someone else. The vote is in. We can continue. A choice against civilization. Now, that sounds like a pretty strong statement. But let's begin to visit what's actually going on this planet. In the Netherlands, where gay marriage is already legal, the average committed gay relationship is lasting just 1.5 years. Pause right there. Listen, I have relationships with my mechanic that last longer than that. Do you hear me? We are attempting to consider giving legal status to a routine of immorality that has no established longevity. This one partner for one lifetime in that community is a myth. 1.5 years. Dr. Timothy Daly of the Center of Marriage and Family Studies said those so-called committed homosexual couples had an average of 8 extra sexual partners per year. An even more startling statistic that one study found is that 43% of white homosexuals slept with 500 or more men. And 28% had sex with 1,000 or more men. That just is beyond me. I just got to tell you. My mind doesn't even work in this direction. So I'm a little astonished by some of this stuff. in Scandinavia. Y'all know that's across the pond and up north somewhere? Very good, Roy. For those of you that don't know, Roy is from Norway. In Scandinavia, the first place where gay marriage was formally legalized, it appears it's actually helping to kill off the traditional form of marriage. A man and a woman committing for a life and having children. Secular social scientist Stanley Kurtz says, what we see... What we see you just get so satisfied all of a sudden, don't you? You just, hey, no, we want you to do it well. Yeah, there you are. And today, I really appreciate your support. That was probably the wrong phrase to use, but that commercial's been gone for a while. That would be the old people laughing. Stanley Kurtz says, what we see in Scandinavia is marriage, quite literally, is dying. He points out, gay couples can't make babies, so their Scandinavian marriages are erasing the idea that making babies and being married are all wrapped up together and inseparable. The result is that 60% of firstborn children in Denmark are born out of wedlock. There are some parts of Scandinavia, believe it or not, where as many as 80% of firstborn children are born out of wedlock. These are the most liberal districts where the acceptance of gay marriage is the highest. Already, many Scandinavians weren't marrying until after their first child. Now, since gay marriage, there is the progression of the idea children and marriage are separate subjects. More couples are waiting to wed until after their second child. They may just skip wedlock altogether soon. There are a lot of factors associated with that statistic that are other than simply gay marriage related. For instance, in many Scandinavian churches, you cannot get a divorce. Consequently, people have quit marrying. In many Scandinavian countries, all you have to do is be baptized, and everyone gets baptized to get on the church rolls. And once you're on the church rolls, the church gets a certain dollar figure per year for everybody on their church rolls. That system is not going to change because it's vested. It's a state church. You understand? Those are qualifiers. They don't discount what's happening. Now, since gay marriage, there is the progression of the idea children and marriage are separate subjects. More couples are waiting to wed until after their second child. I want you to understand something. I may have to teach on this next week just to bring some balance to this. I'm not this morning making an argument for marriage. Do you understand that? I'm not trying to defend marriage. Okay. I'm trying to help us see something that's happening culturally, internationally. It's wicked. I'm going to get to its root. And then we're going to have to make some decisions about where you personally stand in relationship to the root. There was a British anthropologist, J.D. Unwin. He studied civilizations that have collapsed. Can you say collapsed? Fini, gone, passé, undone, history. He died in 1936. His research was published in 1940. He scrutinized the sexual behaviors of 86 cultures through 5,000 years of history. His observations were and are sobering. Concerning his study, he made the chilling observation. Listen to this. It's words we may have to play with for a moment. The evidence is that in the past, a class has risen to a position of political dominance because of its great energy, and that at the period of its rising, its sexual regulations have always been strict. You follow that? Think Puritans. Okay? Now then. It has retained that society, that civilization, that catalyst for order, has retained its energy and dominated the society so long as its sexual regulations have demanded both prenuptial and postnuptial continence. I know of no exceptions to this rule in 5,000 studies of the sexual behavior of civilizations. When they require fidelity before marriage and after marriage, they continue. When the society is unhinged from that basic premise of faithfulness, that society's days are numbered. Once a society utterly rejects a sexual ethic that values restraint, its days are numbered. In his book, Our Dance Has Turned to Death, Carl Wilson identifies the common pattern of family decline in ancient Greece and the Roman Empire. I assume all of you have heard of those two empires. Let's take a look at some documented transformations in those societies. You decide if these seven stages sound familiar to you. Here's stage number one. Men cease to lead their families in worship. Spiritual and moral development became secondary. Their view of God became naturalistic, mathematical, and mechanical. Stage two, men selfishly neglected care of their wives and children to pursue material wealth, political and military power, and cultural development. Material values began to dominate thought, and the man began to exalt his own role as an individual. Remember now, we're talking about two dead societies, two dead civilizations. I know it sounds very familiar, but this is a history lesson. Stage three. This stage involved a change in men's sexual values. Men who were preoccupied with business or war either neglected their wives sexually or became involved with lower class women or with homosexuality. Ultimately, a double standard of morality developed. In stage four, women were affected. The role of women at home and with children lost value and status. Women were neglected and their roles devalued. Soon they revolted to gain access to material wealth and also freedom for sex outside marriage. Women also began to minimize having sex relationships to conceive children, and the emphasis became sex for pleasure. Marriage laws were changed to make divorce easy. In stage five, husbands and wives competed against each other for money, home leadership, and the affection of their children. This resulted in hostility and frustration and possible homosexuality in the children. Many marriages ended in separation and divorce. Many children were unwanted, aborted, abandoned, molested, and undisciplined. The more undisciplined children became, the more social pressure there was not to have children. The breakdown of the home produced anarchy. In stage six, selfish individualism grew and carried over into society, fragmenting it into smaller and smaller group loyalties. The nation was thus weakened by internal conflict. The decrease in the birth rate produced an older population that had less ability to defend itself and less will to do so, making the nation more vulnerable to its enemies. The final stage, as unbelief in God became more complete, parental authority diminished, and ethical and moral principles disappeared, affecting the economy and government. Thus, by internal weakness and fragmentation, the societies came apart. There's no way to save them except by a dictator who arose from within, or by barbarians who invaded from without. Does that sound alarmingly familiar to you? These are patterns of failed civilizations. Now, let me suggest to you that whatever emotional predilections you have about the issue of homosexuality in this culture, you need to come to grips with what's happening to your society and your civilization apart from your emotional responses to it. We happen to be the stewards of this present testimony of truth. You cannot expect it from anybody outside of those who have wisdom and understanding. Those who will uphold the truth. That's another subject entirely. A choice against fidelity. Homosexuality has a root, but you will not find that root in the homosexual community. Don't bother looking for it there. Don't bother wading into it. Because the problem is not in the homosexual community. Homosexuality is just another fruit, an unpleasant one, however, among several unpleasant choices, but they have a common root. A friend of mine reported to me a conversation that he engaged in with several mainline pastors. Mainline being one of the traditional denominations of this country you would recognize. And the question came onto the table as to why their denomination was being so accommodating toward homosexual congregants and clergy. The response was, there are so many adulterous clergy in our denomination, we cannot find a moral consensus to take a stand. I appreciate your groan, because I want you to understand that the root of homosexuality, of lesbianism, of adultery, of pornography, of any other illicit, immoral thing, it has a root, and it's called infidelity. Now, we might have to define what that is, simply because we no longer understand the very language that we use. But let me ask you, do any of these phrases sound familiar to you? Whatever floats your boat. Live and let live. Whatever, dude. There are no absolutes. Non-judgmentalism. Values. Clarification. Doesn't that sound good? Let's clarify our values. And that whole thing is designed to clarify why conservative values are not to be valued. How about this one? I've actually had preachers tell me this to my absolute astonishment. You cannot legislate morality. Now, I know you feel busted already, but how many have actually entertained that as a thought? Okay, let me help you understand something. Legislation is morality. It's simply whose morality are you going to legislate? Do you understand that when the Supreme Court overturns the state of Texas' right to say that sodomy within their borders is illegal, that they have just done something, they have legislated without legislation, a requirement of the people of the state of Texas to accept that kind of immorality as normative in their society? I say, you go for it, Texas. You tell the Supreme Court where to get off. That is the sound of anarchy. And you need to understand that. When good people get sick of evil being called good in the name of loving one another, you cannot call evil good in the name of love. If you love somebody, you call evil evil because it's hurting them. I'm preaching to the choir, I know that. But I'm trying to help you think. Quit sitting on your fingers and think somebody else is going to take care of this situation. Nobody else is going to take care of it unless you do in your sphere. Every time we remain silent, we allow the darkness to triumph. And people, listen, darkness cannot come up with the solutions of light. It's incapable of it. Well, dispassionate. Dial down there, boy. Dial down. All right, now, I mentioned to you some definitions. Let's consider the issue of fidelity. How many of you can remember a stereo that advertised high fidelity? You know? I didn't even know what that meant. You know? But it was high fidelity. That is, it was faithful to the original sound to a high degree. Because fidelity means faithfulness. Do you understand? It's simple. It means faithfulness. Now, of interest to me is the definition of infidelity. Note the very first entry. A lack of belief in a religion. I'm going to tell you something that I thought was obvious until I sat in a room of leaders and discovered not a single one of them had ever given it a thought. Every historical institution of the United States of America presupposes that its people are a people of moral character. I sat with a lawyer and we were just talking, and I happened to make that comment. He just stopped his knife and fork and said, "You know, Lanny, I'm a trained lawyer. I've been through law school. I have argued cases before the bar. I've been a teacher in that system, and not any single professor has ever come close to saying what you just said, that all of our institutions are predicated upon the existence of its people having moral character." Now, if you try to legislate apart from moral character, you're chasing the wind. Do you understand? What does it mean to say, "I solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God"? First of all, it presumes there's a God. Secondly, that I have the capacity for knowing what the truth is. And thirdly, I have the moral courage to say what the truth is. And without moral character, you can't have any of that. Infidelity at its beginning is a lack of belief in religion. That there is no higher authority to which we are accountable. And we have the fathers of the public education system, the liberal education system in this nation, to thank for that reality. Once you get rid of that, it's easy to go to two. unfaithfulness to a moral obligation, which leads us quite naturally to marital unfaithfulness or an instance of it. Does this make sense to you? Now, you don't have to be a seminary graduate to understand this. You don't have to have gone to college to know at a basic level that these things are fundamental truths. Let me help you with something. It took me a while to work through this. A couple of things. Jerry sitting here on the front row, he was a real instructor to me in this thing. We had our first out-of-wedlock teen pregnancy a number of years ago. And I'm gonna tell this on myself because I hate being religious. I want you to know I hate Peter being religious, not Peter Pan. This young girl wanted to have her baby dedicated here at Prague. She wanted to come stand up here with the young mothers who had maintained sexual purity, married, gave birth, and wanted to present their children to the Lord. She wanted to present her baby born out of wedlock. She wanted to come stand up here in front of our young virgins and have me say, yes, we'll accept this child and we'll present it to the Lord. Now, that was a crisis for me. It was a religious crisis, and I didn't understand it to be religious at the time. It sounded like some kind of scruple. It sounded like, I'm not going to condone this immorality. I'm not going to have them stand up there with the pure people. Do you hear that? That was in me. And then my friend Jerry said to me, Lanny, it doesn't matter how the babies get here. Once they're here, we have to take care of them. And it changed my life. Because every crisis in people's lives is like that. And if we try to superimpose over them some religious scruple when they are in need of our help, then we forget that we work for the helper. Do you understand? And here's what it's come to. I have made a public commitment and stance of this congregation under my leadership to help reclaim those lives that have been ravaged by divorce. It would be naive on your part or anyone else's to think that because I take that stand, I endorse divorce. I do not. Now, what it will mean for me professionally is that when other clergy find out that I make a home for those immoral divorcees, I will suffer their ridicule. But I've settled something, folks. I have a judge, and you're not it. Do you understand? We work for the helper. I have it on good authority. He's on deposit in you. He expects you to be a help. And one of the things we have to come to grips with is, what does it mean for me to stand with a homosexual who wants to be free? Does it mean I endorse homosexuality? Absolutely not. Does it mean that I may catch grief for standing with them? You can count on it. And I know exactly where it will come from the religious people. The homosexuals will not attack you for trying to be helpful. The religious people will rise up against the helper in you. I hate religious people. I'm sorry. I hate religion and what it does to people. Folks, I don't know any more than you do how to walk this out. But it has to be walked out in something other than silence. Somebody has to say what the truth is. somebody else has to hear it and respond to it so that there's two of them standing for the truth. But we can't even decide in America among Christian so-called believing adults if the Bible is even true anymore. The Bible is not true because you believe it. The Bible is true. Believe it. You know, I don't know how much of the Bible I don't believe, but I'm willing to repent anytime the Lord calls me on it. But I know there are things in there I just don't have the capacity yet to believe or don't understand yet that I don't believe them. The Lord is real good to show up when I don't believe Him and tell me, "You don't believe me. Try this one on." I heard this past week and it just sunk into me. I mean, it hit me where I live. The Holy Spirit is trapped inside of unbelieving believers. Do you really believe that the politicians can come up with a moral solution to this country's problems? Do you think the president can do it for us? A non-American made an interesting observation. Our history, when you open your history books, we define our history on the basis of who is president. We love leadership. That's all I can say. Are you aware that as a follower of Christ, you've been called to a life of moral purity? And when you abandon that position, you abandon your ability to be a moral compass even in your own life. It is the goal, it's the absolute pleasure of the spirit of Antichrist to defile everything that's important to God and to His people. It is a goal of the spirit of Antichrist to defile anything that God values. Are you aware that as a believer, one who has come into the kingdom, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? God, who is Spirit, lives in you and claims you as His temple. Is it any wonder hell would be out to find a way for you to become defiled? It shouldn't surprise you that pornography is one of the largest, it's a multi-billion dollar industry, and that it's a plague in the church of Jesus Christ. It shouldn't surprise you. It shouldn't surprise you that American female believers, I can't say followers of Christ, but believers in Jesus, are becoming as aggressively sexually moral outside the bounds of marriage as Christian men have historically been. It shouldn't surprise you, folks. There is an enemy who has a very specific agenda, and it's to defile you. When Moshe Dayan led the forces of Israel and recaptured Jerusalem from the Muslims, they found the Western Wall, which is a holy site to all of Jewry, but not to Muslims. Okay? They found it defiled in this fashion. The Arabs would smear the prayer site with excrement. They would bring their flocks there to litter the place with animal droppings and use it as a garbage dump. The homes of the Arab neighborhood were built right up to the Western Wall, and some of their toilets actually leaned against it. Now that is Antichrist defilement. Do you understand? Man is made in the image of God. And man is hated by darkness because he bears that image. Do you remember what James said pure religion is. Pure religion and undefiled is this, that you would visit the widows and the orphans, and that you would keep yourself unspotted from the world's defilements. Now that sounds like a religious statement until you understand the consequences that that kind of defilement has for us. Through the years, I've had to work with God's people who have been ensnared in some form of illicit sexual activity. And consistently, whatever testimony of Christ they thought they had was silenced by the guilt of their own immorality. When we fall short of that standard, we condemn ourselves to being inaccurate representatives of the God who redeemed us to represent Him. You knew I was going to get here, those of you who are discerning, so let's just go there. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 32. I just want to highlight some things for you because some of you may be ignorant of this process. If I could provoke you to a particular kind of study this week. Now, I realize that many of you will walk out of here today, think about this maybe until you get to the restaurant and not give it another thought. But some of you will lay hold of it. I want to commend you to the book of Judges. And if you will go into the book of Judges, you will be able to see and authenticate the cycle I outlined for you in seven stages earlier today. You will find that the people are under oppression, that they cry out to God, that God sends them a deliverer in the form of a judge, that their enemies are put at bay, that the people return to the worship of God. Over time, they begin to experience the blessings and the affluence that comes from honoring God. Then they become complacent. They become immoral. And then they fall prey to an oppressor. God sends someone to judge them. And then they begin to cry out to God. And God raises up another judge. Over and over and over. It's the way. It's the course of life. But in this particular passage, all right, now, what I want you to look for as we run through here is, because they did this, God did this. I want you to watch the steps from normalcy to reprobation. They're clearly represented here. In verse 21, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals. Do you understand that's a statement of idolatry? And where did it arise from? Even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. You pull that out and a process begins. Therefore, because this happened, therefore, God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. Has anyone noticed how excited you should be when the genital warts that you contracted sexually through sexual activity, how excited you should be that we now have a product that will minimize those sensations? You're going to have it all of your life, but we can treat it so that you can return to your immorality, because after all, that is your life. Live it the way you want. Has anyone noticed that message? I've been astonished over the years at how bold advertising has gotten in order to treat what happens in your body when you give yourself to impurity. And the message is clear. Let us help you continue with your impurity and minimize the consequences of your impurity. If you haven't noticed, just pay attention. It'll be on sometime this week. Therefore, God gave them over. All right. All right. All right. for they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Now, this is the next step. Okay? And it follows quite naturally. Listen, when you're practicing darkness, you can't afford to honor the light. Do you know that? I have lived the last 25, 28 years of my life involved with people's miseries. And I can tell you this one certain observation. When someone is in sin, they cannot hear the truth because they have been taken by its deceptiveness. And that's the problem with deceit, folks. When you're in it, you don't even know you're in it because it deceives you while you're in it. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator. And for this reason, here we go. We're taking another step downward toward reprobation. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. We went from impurity to degrading passions. How does he define that? Like this. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another. Men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. You cannot escape the consequences of sin. You simply cannot. Now, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer. I happened on Joe Scarborough recently. I only tuned to that station for Joe because they found out there is a conservative market and they want to tap into it. So now we go to Scarborough country. That's the only reason they have him on there, because the rest of that network is really anti most everything. But Joe really likes to go after the politicians. And I really admire that in him. I really do. He's got the goods to do it. So he's got a certain Massachusetts senator. I had no idea you were so up on current events. Reading a statement into the congressional log. The rabid religious right has never looked more ridiculous. God bless his little heart. All the Texans know what that means. Just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, not only did he give them to impurity, not only did he give them to whatever I said came next. Degrading passions, thank you. Now, he gives them over to a depraved mind. A reprobate mind. A mind that can no longer entertain the truth. Now, here's the dangerous point here, folks. When you elect those people and their agenda to positions where they have the opportunity to reshape the landscape, you're going to pay a price for that. Know that. You're going to pay a price for it. Are you aware that there's a lie prevalent in legislation and politics right now that says what you do in your bedroom is your own business? Bless God, I'm American. You bet. That's right, preacher. Don't you tell me it ain't right. All right. I won't tell you it's not right. Just pay attention. If you go in your bedroom and you commit acts of immorality, they're going to bring you to a life-threatening disease. And then you go out there and bleed the medical system for hundreds and thousands and millions of dollars while you suffer the consequences of your sin. Guess who's paying for that? I'm paying for it. I'm paying for it in additional premiums, and the way things are going, I will pay for it in the absence of medical care when I need it, because this system is going to go bust under that premise. Don't buy into that stuff. To a depraved mind. Verse 32. And if you believe the press, verse 32 is where we are. And although they know the ordinances of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but they give hearty approval to those who practice them. My wife told my sister-in-law what was stirring me about this topic. She says, well, make sure the intercessors pray, because out here being California, the homosexual community routinely sends their constituency into evangelical churches to hear what's being said in the hope that they can foist a lawsuit and silence pastors. Bring it on. Go ahead. Let's make something national out of this. Homosexuality is not a natural condition. Embracing homosexuality as normative will cost you personally, and it will cost us nationally. Homosexuality is the fruit of a root, and it didn't start with the homosexuals. It started an everyday old dad who decided he wanted his secretary as well. And when moms started having enough of this, they decided to get the lawn care boy for a little spice in their life. And the kids watched that stuff, and the message was anything goes, so they began to experiment. This is not a homosexual problem, folks. This is a cultural problem, because we have abandoned the simple moral character quality called faithfulness. What can you do about it? What can you do about it? Are you going to go to Washington and change this thing? Oh, you're not listening to me. There's a back button on this thing. I'll show you. Are you going to go on O'Reilly Factor and have your 90 seconds and alter the course of this nation? See, we need a voice. And I want you to know something. Some of these right-wing talking heads, they are not speaking for me. Okay? They're so emotional, I can't even bear listening to them. We have got serious, serious problems. And it's going to take some serious-minded people to address them. I was so tickled. One of our ladies went away this past week. I don't remember all the details, but she was involved in something with the education system. And she was at a symposium or a seminar or a conference, something of that magnitude, where there were a lot of people coming. And she wrote me and told me that she had an occasion to sit over dinner with one of tomorrow's speakers and began to discuss with him what they were doing in her school for children in the area of mathematics, I believe it was. Hopefully she'll tell this story soon herself, but it's appropriate to the moment. He was so impressed with the simplicity of what they were doing and the fact that it had moved their school off of probation with the state. One of our women had been instrumental in removing a school in our locality, off of probation, academic probation. Somebody say, good for you. The man was so impressed with what she said, he rewrote his speech that he was going to deliver the next morning based on what they were doing. Periodically through the years, I have tried to encourage us as a people to get involved in the town. Sit on the commissions. Be on the boards. Because until light sits there and speaks the spirit of wisdom and revelation, darkness can only make decisions in darkness. They have no alternative until you sit there and get a word from heaven that will reshape the whole meeting. Change the law. But at a much more personal level, what can you do? You can renew your personal commitment to fidelity, to faithfulness, and let your kids see it. Stick around and demonstrate it to your grandchildren. Walk across the street to the neighbor that's going through the destruction of this stuff and say there's another way. Be a faithful person. What else? Well, you might start by just keeping your commitments, honoring your marriage, maintaining your sexual purity. Because if you have heard anything here today, you have heard that this is not about you, your comfort, and your pleasure. This is about the future of this society. We live, last I knew, in the most conservative county in the state. I remember my personal shock the first time one of our school teachers was assaulted. I mean, that only happened up the road. But a student attacked a school teacher in our town. I couldn't believe it. And then we began killing off our teenagers in unprecedented numbers through the use of alcohol and these crazy roads we have down here. And now we've got folks who want to come in and reshape the moral fabric of this community. I didn't pick this fight, but I'm prepared to fight this fight. And the only way we can stand up is if you start in your own life by getting things right. Don't think that we are not accountable for what's going on in our generation. If you're 50 years old or older, this is your hour. You are the fathers. Evelyn, are you trying to say something?
Yes.
Oh!
If Roy was alive today and heard you now, he would be so, so proud of you, just as I am.
Thank you, Evelyn.
About time that the church wakes up.
Well, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but I'm trying to inform you so you can preach to somebody else. Folks, they just don't know. They don't even understand the issues. Okay? Those two young girls, they want to be happy. Well, every human I know wants to be happy. Everybody I know wants to be normal. I'm not sure there is anything called normal, but I know that ain't it. They're looking for things that they can't get in that direction. And not only is it going to cost them, it's going to cost us. And we can no longer afford to be silent on this thing. Let me encourage you, those of you who have any interest in following this, just go to the internet, type in homosexuality and the decline of a nation or decline of civilization, and just watch stuff unfold. Start to get educated. Read what the thinkers have said about this. Look at what's happening in other places that have already legalized it. We don't need to make the same mistake in this society. It's not working there. Do you think that it's going to work here? I've traveled around this world. There's one thing I can tell you. Every human being on every continent, regardless of race, color, creed, or tongue, all share the same moral weaknesses. It's in the fabric. And until we stand up for Christ, we have nowhere to stand. So you may stand. God's people. Have lived through this evolution in civilization after civilization. There is only one kingdom that is unshakable. There is only one kingdom that will endure forever. This one's going to go down the tubes like every other civilization. But you won't find me rooting for that. You won't find me working for that. Because I have children who I trust will bear me children that I am concerned about. If God wants to destroy this nation, He's not going to get my help in it. And He's not disposed to be a destroyer. That reminds me, I need to read you something I felt like the Lord said to me about this. Well, let this be the final word. The seduction of this age is tolerance. For the people of God, it's called apathy. God is not apathetic. He is passionate about life. He desires that we choose life. Life is not only choosing for the good. A choice for life is also a choice against evil. Choosing life is not simply a choice for good in your life, but a choice for life in those around you. It is the responsibility of those who represent the Lord to represent Him accurately. He is dispassionate in His judgments. Wrong is wrong because it is wrong, not because God is mad at it. There is the just and the unjust. There exists the evil and the good. There is darkness and light. And each is defined by His declaration of what is good. In His kingdom, there is no darkness. In His presence, there will never be any darkness. His presence is light. Those who represent Him are to be the light, to walk in the light, and their very presence exposes darkness. You've got the goods to affect change in your sphere of influence. Human beings exist in their relationship to God and in His image, not in their relationship to one another as an image of the creature. If it serves you in any way to get the CD of this presentation today, feel free to do that. If it serves you in any way to have my notes, I'm happy to give them to you. I encourage you to your own investigation, because this is an important hour. It might be that in your family there is someone who believes themselves to be homosexual or a lesbian. It might be that because you like them, you have somehow abdicated your responsibility to the truth because you don't want to offend your family member. Let me tell you something. You have a family. It's the family of God. It has a Father, and He sees this differently, and you represent Him. It's time to come out of the confusion about these things. Wrong is wrong because it's wrong. And you shouldn't be ashamed to say that. You represent someone before whom everyone will stand and give an account. And you have a responsibility to them that if you really love them, you will tell them the truth, because the truth is going to confront them in this life or the next, but there's no escaping it. If you don't tell them now, they can't escape what's coming, and it will be unpleasant, because there will be no practicing homosexuals in the kingdom of God. I have it on the authority of the word. They're in need. They need the love you found, the real deal. And you are on appointment in those circles. I don't touch those circles, you do. It might be that you've personally compromised your ability to speak because you have engaged in illicit activities of some kind. I want to implore you in the name of the Lord, return to your faithfulness. Be faithful to your marriage. Be faithful to the Holy Spirit in you. Don't take Him to your porn site. Don't take Him into that illicit activity. He's not interested in going. Listen. If you need to do business with God, if you need to begin a relationship with God, let me invite you to let today be the time you take your stand. Folks, release the Holy Spirit from your unbelief and let Him be the power of God in your life first. Father, we stand here as a people who are just weighed down by the sheer magnitude of the problem that we suddenly are aware of. We've known about it, we've not looked at it, but today we got nailed. And it's a traumatic experience to realize where we are as a society. And yet, we're also the remnant of God. We are not doomed in this thing. We are Christ in the flesh. The testimony of your presence in us is real. You do have answers. You do heal. You do deliver. Grant, I pray, Lord, healing and deliverance today by God the Holy Spirit's presence in your people. As we come to your altar, Father, meet us with your power. Give to us the spirit of wisdom and revelation that we might see. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need to come to the altar, I encourage you to do that. If you need to make some commitments or